We're going to read, please, again from the Gospel of Matthew. The Gospel of Matthew in chapter 26, please. Matthew chapter 26. The Lord Jesus is at a trial. It's a religious trial in chapter 26. It's a trial before Annas and Caiaphas, the high priest of Israel. They ask a question in verse 66 when they say, "What think ye?" They answered and said, "He is guilty of death." "What think ye?" They answered and said, "He is guilty of death." Chapter 27. The religious trial turns to a civil trial. In chapter 26, they accuse the Lord Jesus of blasphemy. They say he made himself the Son of God. I would have thought that the mighty miracles that the Lord Jesus wrought were sufficient to prove that he was the Son of God. The strange thing is that men were not prepared to believe those miracles, and they were not prepared to receive the Lord Jesus as their Savior. There are certain kinds of people today that try and tell us the great effect that miracles will have upon men. But I know that the miracles of the Lord Jesus, all they did was cause men to despise and to reject him. Very seldom do we ever find that the element of the miraculous has an effect for good upon men. And in chapter 26, there's a religious trial when they accuse him of blasphemy because he's the Son of God. But though they cried and said here that he is guilty of death, for any man that made himself the Son of God, as far as a Jew was concerned, was guilty of death. They themselves couldn't carry out the death penalty. So they took the Lord Jesus to Pilate. Pilate, of course, was not the religious leader. Pilate was the civil ruler at that time. Pilate was the envoy that came from Rome to look after affairs in Palestine. And when they bring the Lord Jesus to Pilate, they don't accuse him now of being the Son of God, and they don't accuse him of blasphemy, but they accuse him of treason. Because it would have been no point in accusing the Lord Jesus of blasphemy before Pilate. He wouldn't have been one whit interested whether the Lord Jesus claimed to be the Son of God or not. That wouldn't have been enough to put a man upon a tree and to crucify him. So they had to change their tactics. Men are like that, aren't they? If they don't want God, they don't want Christ, they'll do anything they can to get rid of him. So when they bring him to Pilate in chapter 27, early in the morning, I believe, early enough for his wife not to have been to have got out of bed with him. We saw that this afternoon. But when they bring him to Pilate for a civil trial, because they knew that only Pilate could have the Lord Jesus crucified, then they changed the charge from blasphemy, and they changed the charge to treason. For they said that the Lord Jesus spoke against Caesar. Now that was a very serious charge. For if he spoke against Caesar, that charge made the Lord Jesus worthy of death. Two little things I want to bring before you in chapter 27, please. Verse 17. When therefore they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, "Whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ?" For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. Down the verses, please, a little. Verse 21. The governor answered and said unto them, "Whither of the twain will ye that I release unto you?" They said unto him, or they said, "Barabbas." Pilate saith unto them, "What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ?" They all say to him, "Let him be crucified." And the governor said, "Why? What evil hath he done?" But they cried out the more, saying, "Let him be crucified." And sadly, that judge was persuaded by mob rule, and the mob persuaded Pilate to crucify the Lord Jesus Christ. Now may the Lord grant his blessing to the reading of his good and precious word once again this evening. We've read of three questions tonight, and I want very simply just to bring those three questions to you. For you see, every one of us have to do with the Lord Jesus. And I suppose every one of us have to answer these three questions. Your eternal destiny will depend on your answer to these three questions. For my dear friend, there's not a man that will not face the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says every man shall give account to him. And the Bible says every knee shall bow to him. So it's vital that we get to know these questions. And it's vital that we answer these questions in the right way. The first question is that question in verse 66 of chapter 26. When the Pharisees asked the question, "What think ye? What think ye?" I want to tell you today, dear friend, your answer to that question will depend upon your eternal destiny. What you think of the Lord Jesus. And unless you get a right appraisal of that, then you might find yourself lost for eternity. Verse 66, what think ye? Well then, when we came into chapter 27, I noticed two more questions. One, when the Lord Jesus was brought out with another man, a man called Barabbas. And the nation had to make a choice. And the choice was, which of these two would be crucified? And the question that came there very, very simply was, whom will ye? Whom will ye? And I want to tell you again tonight, dear friend, your answer to that question will settle your eternal destiny. Whom will ye? But then we came to that last question that Pilate asked. When he could see that this belligerent crowd, baying for the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, bent on his crucifixion. The question that we saw then in verse 22, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? My dear friend, three great questions. Those questions have got to be answered. The first one, what think ye? And we're going to ask the question tonight to each one in this gospel hall. What is your estimation of the Lord Jesus? What think ye of Christ? But then we've got to face the other question. Whom will ye? And finally, we've got to face the question, what shall I do with Jesus, which is called Christ? And your eternal destiny will depend on your answer to the questions. We go back to chapter 26, and the Lord Jesus has been taken from the Garden of Gethsemane. That night, the Christ of God, along with his own, had gone into the Garden of Gethsemane. A momentous place. The Lord Jesus knew that Calvary lay ahead. The Lord Jesus has said, "No man taketh my life from me. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again." In fact, the Lord Jesus said, "For this cause came I into the world." The whole object of the Lord Jesus coming here was that he might go to Calvary, but the hour's approaching. Men were trying to arrange the events as far as they were concerned. But the Son of God is controlling the events. And speaking with his own just during that night, he knew full well that on the morrow he was going to be hanging on a cross. And with those disciples, 11 of them, one of them, of course, has forsaken the Lord Jesus. Oh, he'd been with him now for 3 years, 3.5 years of ministry. He'd been blessed of the Lord Jesus, the Bible would teach us. He'd wrought mighty miracles in the name of the Lord Jesus. He'd preached the gospel of the kingdom for the Lord Jesus. But my dear friend, he wasn't saved. For you see, there's got to be more than just being able to effect miracles or even to preach, to know, to be saved. For you remember, won't you, what happened to Judas? As Judas turned his back upon the Christ of God and linked himself with ungodly men. All for the price of 30 pieces of silver. And the wealth of this world meant more to him and to his soul than wealth for eternity. And on that last night, Judas left that little band of believers. And he made his way outside the upper room before they left. And he made his way to the temple. And there he started to enter into a bargaining. For he knew where the Lord Jesus was going to be that night. And he made his bargaining as to what price they'd give him that he might betray him. Tell me, friend, are you one of those that are close at hand, like Judas, to see what you can get out of the things of God? I remember when the children of Israel left Egypt centuries before, the Bible says a mixed multitude went up with them. Do you know when that mixed multitude went up? They were people that saw the blessing of God upon the nation of Israel, and they thought, we'll just go up along with them, and we'll get the same blessing. The only trouble is, they'd never come under blood. And the only thing is, they'd never known redemption. And the only thing is, that people never knew salvation. And there may be somebody here today, because of your mother, because of your father, and I'm not just thinking of children now. You see, there are some people, 50, 60, 70, reading the gospel. And knowing the gospel. And gone along with the Christians. Just like Judas. But their heart has never been won for Christ. Like that mixed multitude. They've seen that God has done them good. And you've been on the periphery. But you've never got to Christ. You know Judas wasn't saved, don't you? And I want to tell you, his ill-gotten gains, they did him no good that night. For ere that night was out, this man went out and hanged himself. You reject Christ, my dear friend. You turn your back upon the Son of God. Well, let me tell you, if you've never been truly saved, even if you're just one of those on the periphery, the day will dawn when you'll make a choice. And sadly, in all probability, just like Judas is, just to reject the Lord Jesus. And that to your utter doom. How is it with you tonight? Are you truly saved like the Peters, the James, the Johns? Are you truly linked to the Son of God? Or friend, are you amongst those that are near at hand for what you can get out of it? But you're not near at heart in devotion. Well, the Lord Jesus went into the Garden of Gethsemane. And I see the Son of God as he's praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. Friend, Calvary looms before him. I want to tell you this this evening, Calvary was no easy thing for the Son of God, you know. I think of someone that said to me many, many years ago, they said, "Mister, your religion is too cheap. And your religion is too easy." Do you know why it was too cheap? Because he could do nothing to get it. And do you know why it was too easy? Because he thought he'd got to work for it and do something for it. Can I tell you something tonight, friend? Salvation's neither cheap nor easy. In fact, the price of salvation is so vast, you could never accomplish it. And you couldn't pay the debt. It's sheer impossibility. And let me tell you, the work was so great, you couldn't do it. You're shut up to the man that came into the world to save sinners. But there's only one man can meet your need, and there's only one man can meet my need, and that one man, the lovely person of our Lord Jesus Christ, coming from the realms of glory, coming here, my dear friend, as we've heard, that he might be the just one, for us the unjust, that he might bring us to God, and your only hope of being brought to God for time and for eternity is through the lovely person of the Lord Jesus. But the Lord Jesus is in the garden. We are privileged to be able to draw near, for the Bible tells us what happened in that garden. The Bible tells us how that the Lord Jesus was prostrate upon the ground and he was in an agony as he was praying. Do you know why? Calvary loomed ahead of him. Oh, the bitter hours, the bitter sufferings. All that he was going to endure. All that was needed to save you. All that was needed to save me. The Christ of God. He knew what lay ahead. And I can hear him praying, as he's praying, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Friend, what a cup to drink. All the deep sufferings of the judgment of God against sin. Judgment you deserved. Judgment I deserved. And here the Lord Jesus knew what lay ahead. And he's praying, Father, if it be possible, if there's another way. If these folks in Toowoomba can be brought home to the glory without the sufferings of Calvary. Father, let this cup pass from me. I want to tell you, friend, Calvary was no easy thing for the Son of God. No easy thing. But you know, he rose from prayer. And as he rose from prayer, the Bible tells us how that these chief priests with their soldiers, with Judas at the head, they came to take the Lord Jesus. There's a lovely statement. My Lord knew that Calvary is before him, and the Bible says he went to meet them. No, he's not going to flee. He's not going to turn his back upon what he must endure and what he must suffer. He went to meet them. And Judas met him. And to point him out from the rest, he kissed him. What hypocrisy. Feigned allegiance, you know. Maybe there's somebody here too. And you give a feigned allegiance to Christ. And your heart's never been won. And in that kiss of friendship, so called, betrayal. For whomsoever I kiss, that is he. And you can make your protestations of love for Christ. You can be like Judas and try and show it. And your heart far from the Son of God. Friend, you might be able to delude me. But you can't delude God. For God knows your heart tonight. And God knows the condition and state that you're in before him. They bring him to the trial. They've got to give him a trial. And the question comes out. Here it is. The Lord Jesus is before them. What think ye? Well, I'm going to ask you. What do you think, friend? Oh, I can tell you what angels think, you know. For the Bible tells me when the Lord Jesus came into this world, the angels left too. You see, the Son of God couldn't come here and the angels remained back in the glory. If their Lord is found here upon the earth, the angels have got to come. And I can hear those angels. They usually call it a Christmas message, don't you? Don't they? As they're crying out, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. For here's a man now that's going to bring glory to God, and here's a man that's going to bring peace and goodwill to men that will bow to him, that will own him, that will receive him. And if you want peace, friend, and if you want goodwill from heaven, you need Christ. But I can hear those angels as they come to those shepherds in the field. What do they say?
unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. Oh, I can tell you what angels think. For angels will tell you, friend, that here's the man that has been sent from heaven to save your precious soul. Here's the man that's been sent from heaven to deal with your sin and to save you and save you eternally. Here's the man that is going to bring you from the depths of eternal burnings and place you on the golden street of heaven. Isn't that a wondrous thing? I would the angels had come back again. And I would that in shining apparel they'd come here and they'd start to speak to you and tell you of this lovely man, the Lord Jesus. But there's no angel going to come, friend. No, sir, there'll be no angel. But you've got to answer the question now. And your answer, my dear friend, will depend your eternal destiny. What do you think? Said these angels, here's a man that's going to bring glory to God. Here's a man that's going to bring peace to men. Here's the Saviour. What think ye? We've heard a verse of what Peter thought. I can hear Peter a little earlier. You know, when he has been living with the Lord Jesus now for this past three years. And the Lord Jesus said, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? I could come here and ask you, whom do you say that he is? In what you think he is tonight, my dear friend, is your answer to the question here. Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Oh, say those disciples. Some say, Lord, you're Elijah. Others say, you're Jeremiah. Some say you're one of the prophets. Elijah, he was a man of great zeal, you know. He was a man that took on a wicked king Ahab and took on his queen, Jezebel. That was Elijah. He was a man that challenged the prophets of Baal to a duel there and told them to build an altar. And put your sacrifice on it and call to your God. And I'll build my altar and I'll put my sacrifice on it. He didn't only put sacrifice on it, he put 12 barrels of water on it. Barrels that they'd obviously got from the sea. And these men cried and cried and cried. And obviously because they'd know God. What's going to happen, please? In a moment when Elijah prays, the fire of God comes and consumes the sacrifice. And not only the sacrifice, the stones, the water. God proved himself. And Elijah, the man of zeal, what does he do? He takes up the sword along with others against those prophets of Baal. Oh, said some of those men. As they saw the mighty zeal that marked the Lord Jesus, some men say you're Elijah, Lord. But he was a man of zeal. But others said he was Jeremiah. Jeremiah, you know, wasn't the man of zeal. Jeremiah was the weeping prophet. And some people, when they saw the Lord Jesus, what did they do? They saw the compassion. They saw the tears. They saw the heart of love as he moved out to poor humanity. Listen, my dear friend, the Christ of God wants your blessing. And the Lord Jesus, in deep compassion toward us. Why, he came from the glory. I think of the tears of Christ. Do you remember that lovely statement? Jesus wept. A little verse all on its own. Weeping because of the advent of sin. Weeping because its effects upon the whole of humanity. Your home feels it. My home feels it. A friend dearly loved has died. For the wages of sin is death, and death has come in. But I want to tell you, the Lord Jesus feels it, friend. And some said he's the weeping prophet. But they asked Peter,
Whom do you say?
Some say it's one of the prophets, the men that bring the mighty message of God to the people. Not only his zeal, not only his tears, but my dear friend, the mighty message of God that came from his lips. What do you think? Ah, says Peter, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Friend, what do you think tonight? Were all those miracles in vain? Do they not prove who the Lord Jesus is? Another one says, thou art the Christ, the Saviour of the world. You know, a blessed thing if you could come there, wouldn't it? You've got to answer the question. The blessed Christ of God is here tonight. You forget the preacher. And you answer the question, what think ye? Ah, but let me come on. Because I notice in chapter 27, he's gone now to that civil trial. And the Bible tells us that there was a custom at that time of the year. It was Passover, you know. We call it our Easter. The time when the Lord Jesus died. Passover was the time when the children of Israel were taken out of Egypt. When God in his mighty power delivered them from the hand of a Pharaoh. And when God by his grace took them into a new land and opened it all for them. That's what the gospel wants to do, you know. Bring you, my dear friend, out of your sin. Bring you to a Saviour. Take you to a blessed place. Oh, thank God for the gospel. But it seems in these days when the Lord Jesus was here to celebrate Passover, to celebrate the time of deliverance, they used to bring a prisoner out. Here, two of them. And they used to release a prisoner. Just as the children of Israel have been prisoners down in Egypt, now they're going to be released. Now, here's the custom. And there are two before them. Barabbas. Jesus. Oh, says Pilate. This is an easy one. I brought one of the foulest men out of the dungeons. I brought a man out that has been nothing but trouble to this nation. And here's the Lord Jesus. Look what he's done. See the folks that he's healed. See the multitudes that he fed. See the devils he cast out. See the lepers he cleansed. See the storms he stilled. Tell me, what kind of man do you want in society? Do you want a Barabbas that would stab you in the back? That would break into your homes? May you put a knife in your throat in your bed? Or would you rather have the Lord Jesus? Hey? There's no comparison, is there? Pilate's got an easy way out. If he gets one of the foulest men out of the prison and compares him with the Lord Jesus, I'll bring them forth. They can make their choice. And the choice is very simply, whom will ye? Amazing. Absolutely amazing. As they cry for the release of Barabbas, and they cry for the crucifixion of Christ. So the Bible says of Barabbas, the Bible says, now Barabbas was a robber. Can I tell you something tonight? That day he robbed that nation of their king. That day Barabbas robbed them as he'd never robbed them before. He robbed them of the mighty wonder, miracle healer that could bless that nation as none other had ever done. And he robbed that nation of a Saviour. You've got to make a choice. I feel that Barabbas speaks much of this world, you know, and the ways of this world. And you've got to make a choice. Which world, friend? Are you going to let it rob you of your soul's salvation? of eternal bliss? Are you going to link yourself with ungodly men that turn their back upon the Son of God?
And my dear friend, are you going to lose your soul in the bargain? Whom will you tonight? You must make a choice. But I'd ask another question. As he brings the Lord Jesus out to the pavement, the crowd is down below. The Christ of God has come forth wearing a purple robe. They're mocking him now as the King of the Jews. But as he set him forth, the crown of thorns upon his head, a man that had been beaten and buffeted at the hands of men, Pilate asked the question to the crowd, "What shall I do with Jesus, which is called the Christ?" Friend, you've got to answer the question too. I can hear them. A cry that may have started with just but one or two, and suddenly they're joining in, and the chorus is rising. Not just to Pilate, you know. Not just in the ears of the blessed Son of God. But a cry that rises right to the throne of the glory. As that people turn round and say, "Away with him. Away with him. We'll not have this to reign over us." And let me tell you, the cry is still going up today. Friend, what's the cry of your heart? What will you do with Jesus, which is called the Christ? And they cry, "Crucify, crucify, away with him, away with him." And in it, that eternal destiny sealed. Are you going to believe in the Lord Jesus tonight? Are you going to make him your Savior? You can be like Judas, you know. You can be like the crowd. My God will never compel you to bow your knees to Christ. But you have got to answer the questions. And let me tell you, you can shut your eyes, you can shut your mind, you can do what you will, but your very actions tonight will tell how you answer these questions. What think ye? Whom will ye? What shall I do with Jesus, which is called Christ, and you can't evade it? Do you get that now? You can't evade it. But every man is face to face with these questions. And you can go on without Christ, but you'll go on to your doom and you'll perish.